Luke chapter number 10, verse number 30. Luke 10, verse number 30. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave it to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now these 3, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go, and do thou likewise. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you'd bless your word. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the next few minutes, Lord, as we try to give the people what you have laid upon our hearts for this morning. I pray that you'd help us now, save that one that's near his tail. And Lord, I pray that you'd do that. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Here we find a very familiar parable. Most of you have heard, probably if you've been in church any length of time at all, you've heard sermons preached about the Good Samaritan. This is a parable. You say, what is a parable? A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus give a parable. He would tell a parable of an earthly event about a certain Samaritan or a certain lawyer or a certain this, that, and the other to give an example to the people. But what he's trying to say is with heavenly meaning. And so he gives this about the man that fell among thieves. He went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among thieves. They stripped him. They threw him in the ditch. He's there. He's passed by a priest. He's passed by a Levite. And then a certain Samaritan went to where he was, picked him up, cleaned him up, washed his wounds off, put the oil and wine on him, bound him up, put him on his donkey, and took him to an inn to take care of him. The Good Samaritan. We have laws today. The Good Samaritan laws where you help folks and this, that, and the other. And everybody understands the Good Samaritan. But here is some truths here that I want to express to you this morning. I see ourselves, everybody in this room, I see ourselves in this particular parable. Now let's look at verse number 30. Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Here's what I want to show you this morning. Number one, the misery of the sinner. The misery of the sinner. Notice this gentleman goes from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is up high, built up on the center of the universe. And he leaves Jerusalem going down. And my friend, when you leave the presence of God, you'll be going in a downward direction. That's where we all went. We left the presence of God. You think about this in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. That's the only way it works, my friend. Anyway, never mind. This world we live in today is in a mess. All these babies we're having, you have a baby, they have a blue card, they put a blue card if it's a boy, they have a pink card if it's a girl. They've never put rainbow cards. You're either a boy or a girl. Anyway. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, there they were in the center of the universe, had the blessings of God. They were on top of the world, and they left that place and went downward, downward. And when you leave God, there, my friend, is where you'll be headed, on a downward slope. A certain man that fell among thieves, he wasn't in any physical trouble, so God didn't send a doctor. He wasn't in any financial trouble, so he didn't send him a banker. He was didn't need a building, so he didn't need a contractor. He wasn't in any legal trouble, so God didn't send a lawyer. But this young man was in a sinful state, so God sent a Savior. That's what you and I need. Everybody in this room is born a sinner. James 1:15, sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death. Sin is a transgression of the law. People don't like sin, but they sure do a whole lot of it. Sin, the middle letter is I, and I, that's your trouble, that's my trouble. Your trouble's not the preacher. Your trouble's not the deacon. Your trouble's not the person sitting next to you. Your trouble is right in the middle, and it's I, and it's in the center of sin. This is a misery of a sinner. Notice the downward path. Left Jerusalem, going to Jericho on a downward slope. Eden, downward slope. When Adam and Eve left the garden, downward, downward, downward. And notice he fell among thieves. The Bible says the devil is a thief. He's come to kill and destroy. And that's what sin will do to you. Young people, listen to me. This preacher, you call me old fashioned, whatever you want. But sin will leave you in a bad state. Sin will take you down. Sin will keep take you further than you want to go. Keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you a whole lot more than you want to pay. Sin. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. There is none righteous, no, not one. That means the Pope ain't righteous. That means Mother Teresa ain't righteous. That means anybody you know ain't righteous. The best preacher you know ain't righteous. Nobody is righteous enough to get into heaven. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The misery of the sinner. This is the way that'll leave you. You say, I love going out in the world. Well, my friends and this, that, and the other. You run out of money, sin will leave you. He'll strip you of your clothes. He'll leave you half dead. And all of your sins, or all of your friends, when you run out of money, they'll leave you too. Thief comes to kill and destroy and to steal. And this is a downward path. It is a dangerous plank. They stripped him. They wounded him and left him half dead. Now some of you look this morning. You look about half dead. Maybe you stayed up too late watching Johnny Carson or something. But hey, this right here, this fella fell among thieves and they left him half dead. That's the way sin will do you. It's the misery of the sinner. He was in a desperate predicament. He couldn't save himself. He's down there in the ditch. He couldn't get up. He couldn't get out. He couldn't save himself. He couldn't help himself. And let me say this. Ain't nobody in here. I know that's improper English. At least I'll admit it. Ain't nobody in here, this room right now, in Dyersburg, Tennessee, in Dyer County, in the state of Tennessee, and the whole wide world. Ain't nobody can save themselves. Not one. You may think, I heard a preacher on TV, and they said, boy, all you got to do is get yourself, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That's baloney. That ain't even good baloney. That ain't even the Bible. You just turn it off. If they ain't preaching the truth, turn it off. Couldn't save himself. Amen. He was in a downward path, a dangerous plight, a desperate predicament. He couldn't do nothing. He's down there by himself. Now, that's the way you were before you got saved. You may be in the room right now, and that may be where you're at. You may be down. Sin, the world has stripped you of everything and whooped your brains out and left you in the ditch half dead. That may be you this morning. Well, I wonder who could help. I wonder. Well, there was in verse number 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Well, think about this. The priest, earthly story with a heavenly meaning. What's Jesus trying to say? He's trying to say, this old guy, sin has left him in the ditch. A priest come by, looked at him, passed by on the other side. Guess what? The priest. You say, preacher, what is a priest? That's religion.
Amen.
Yeah.
Religion can't help you.
Yeah.
I don't care if you got vacation Bible pens all the way down the right leg, left leg, down both arms. I don't care if you're a member of every church in Dyer County, Tennessee. I don't care if you know this religion, that religion. You go to church every time the doors open, every time they have revival. Here you are. You teach Sunday school. You're a deacon. You do all of this. You lead the singing. You play the piano. You do everything. You do the music. You do the Sunday school superintendent. You run the sound. You do everything. That's not going to save you. Religion won't help you. Religion will come by, look at where you are, and pass you by on the other side. Religion, ritualism. There's a lot of religious people in hell. There was a fellow in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter number 4, by the name of Cain. Y'all know the story, Cain and Abel. Cain was a very religious man. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. He brought it into church. God says, I don't want that. That's the fruit of your own labor. Cain, a very religious man. Judas Iscariot was a religious man. He was a treasurer of the church. You got to watch him, treasures. Judas Iscariot, treasurer of the church. I got news for you. Died and went to hell. A religious man. Went to church, saw Jesus heal blind Bartimaeus, saw it all. Religion will not help you. Hey, I hope I don't offend you. I never have worried about that before. But a priest can't help you. You can go confess your sins to a knothole, go in the closets, confess your sins in a knothole to a fellow that dresses like mama. They call him father, and he ain't even married. You can confess your sins to your blue in the face. He can't help you. He ain't never forgive nobody of their sin. And he can't forgive you of your sin. It's time we stand up and tell the truth. A priest can't help you. Ephesians 2:89, let's bring a little Bible in on it. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Priest can't help you. He'll pass by you and look at you and say, I can't help you. Leave you in the ditch, half dead. Religion has done that to a lot of people. Religious things, people just come to church. They say, well, I've done my duty. I come, and I come about once, twice a month. I've done my duty. I'm religious. I've never killed nobody. I've never stole anything. I've never run around with my wife. I'm religious. I know God. I know the good man upstairs. How many times have you heard that? Oh, I know the good Lord upstairs, the man upstairs. He's not the man upstairs. He's God Almighty.
Amen.
Amen.
Priest can't help you. Titus 3:5 says, not the works of righteous what we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. This man is the misery of the sinner, but the priest can't help. All right, look at here. Look at verse number 32. And likewise the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, passed by on the other side. The Levite, the priest can't help you. That's religion. Number two, the Levite can't help you. That's the law. That's the law. You say, whoa, like the Ten Commandments. We just did a series on the Ten Commandments. I enjoyed it. I really did. Enjoyed it. But I can tell you this, you ain't never, everybody in this room, nobody has ever kept all the Ten Commandments. We found that out during the series. All of us left this place guilty. Guilty. You ain't never kept the Ten Commandments. You don't know anybody that's ever kept the Ten Commandments. And if you could keep all the Ten Commandments, they wouldn't get you to heaven. There's only one person that kept all the Ten Commandments. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the only one. Well, I got news for you. The Levites, the law, the legalism, cannot save you. Law, the law condemns you. It don't save you. It condemns you. How many times have you ever been pulled over by the state trooper or the policeman or the sheriff's department? You pull them over and the state trooper comes up to the window. Roll your window down. We got this little certificate for you. The governor of the state of Tennessee, we've been following you for about 30 minutes. You've been under the speed limit and you have not broken the law. And so we just wanted to pull you over and give you a little certificate signed by the governor We appreciate you. We want to commend you for keeping the law. Has that ever happened to anybody? No! The law's not for commending you, giving you a little hand clap. If the law and the blue light show up behind you, they're not there to give you a stick. They're going to give you a sheet of paper. They're going to give you a sheet of paper. But it's not to commend you. And it might have the governor's name on it. But it's sure going to have a little court date on there. It says be in court this certain time. Go see the judge because you broke the law. You're speeding. Hallelujah. That's why I don't have no Holy Hill sticker on the back of my car. Y'all got them Holy Hill stickers. Is that that preacher Holy Hill? You don't see no sticker on my car. Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. The law can't save you. The law will just show you where you messed up. The law. The law cannot help. It's going to pass by. You're down there by yourself in the ditch. You're stripped of your clothes. You don't have anything, no money. They'll strip you of everything. And the Levite will come by and say, I can't even help you. The priest come by. Religion can't help you. The law can't help you. This fella is in a mess. He is in a mess. What is he going to do? You mean to tell me a priest can't help you, and religion can't help you, and the law and the Levite can't help you? Who else are we going to turn to if they can't help you? Well, that's not the rest of this. We've got to read the rest of the story. The rest of the story is this. Verse 33. First word, somebody help me. Aren't you glad when God butts in?
Amen.
I know of a story over in Genesis chapter number 5 and 6 where God is so upset at this world. He says, I'm going to destroy this whole world with a flood. And chapter 6 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I know Ephesians chapter 2 says, and you which were dead in trespasses and sin, you walked according to the course of this world and the conversation of your own flesh. And but verse number 6 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, where He loved us, He saved us. God, but God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm glad when God butts in, when religion can't help you, when the world can't help you, when the Ten Commandments can't help you, when the Levite can't help you, when nobody can help you, but God. Don't get excited enough. Stay in your seat. We're just talking about how you're going to get to heaven one of these days. I think the song says something like this. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. Don't get excited. Stay in your seat. But the master. Some of us been so saved so long we forgot what it was to be lost. I think the song said, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. There's the misery of the sinner. But number two, there is the mercy of the Savior. Look here at verse number 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. He couldn't get out of the ditch. He couldn't get up on his own. But God came to where you were. When you couldn't come to Him, He came to you. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. They didn't go looking for God. God came looking for them. And said, Adam, wherefore art thou? Oh, Adam wasn't looking for God, but God came to where he was. And there was a day when you were lost. You may be sitting in the room lost without God. You may be in the ditch. You may see religion pass you by and the Levite pass you by. But I'm telling you, God will stop by and come to where you are. He'll pick you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on a solid rock. Establish your going. Put a new song in your heart. Even praise unto our God. Oh, yes, the mercy of the Savior. He had pity, but a Samaritan. Oh, that's grace. This is what he does. He binds up his wound. He goes to where he is. He gets him up out of that horrible pit. He puts him up, binds up his wound. He puts wine and oil. So what did he do that for? That wine, that's a picture of the blood. It kills infection.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Them old cowboy movies, they get a snake bite. You know, they open that bottle, they put that real stuff on there. And get them a drink. Boy, they put it on there. Here, you get a drink first. They put it on there. That's like my grandma when she put on that methylate and mercurochrome. Somebody say amen right there. I don't know what was in that, but it sure burnt. I'd rather have a snake bite. They'd hold you down. They'd get in all the kids, all the cousins, all the nephews, nieces. They'd get on, sit down on your leg. And grandma would say, I bet you put this on there. You get all the kids. Y'all get ready to blow. You don't come out. And she'd get that little stopper, that little glass, little thing. It got a little rubber stopper on it. And she'd suck that thing up. And she'd put that on there. And she'd say, now blow. And all the kids.
Come on,
baby. How many of y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Or am I just the only one? I mean, I'm just 40, but I do remember my fire lady mercurochrome. Yeah. Woo! Thank the Lord for Neosporin when it come out. We're raising a generation of a bunch of sissies on Neosporin that don't hurt. We need to go back to the mercurochrome and the methylate and burn the hide off. It raised a tougher generation of kids.
Yeah.
Nowadays, they get a scrape. Oh, don't put the Neosporin on. Or now you hear, Mr. Bubbles. If it don't hurt, it ain't happened.
Yeah.
Hey, put that wine on there. That's a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Right.
Then he puts that oil on there. He said, what in the world is that? That's a picture of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1:13, whereby we're sealed to the day of redemption.
Amen.
Hey, saved one time. Ain't none of this, well, I got saved again. No, you didn't get saved, you get saved one time. Well, I felt a little kink on that. I mean, you'll start reading your Bible a little better. Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30. I'll tell you, that Holy Spirit of God seals you to the day of redemption. I'm talking about the misery of the sinner. I'm talking about the mercy of the Savior. I got to hurry because it's getting close to 12 and everybody's doing like this. But I'm telling you this. He put that on there, got rid of the infection, put the oil on there, sealed it up real good, bound him up, put him on his own donkey, and took him to an inn. He said, what in the world did that? He took him to that inn and he told the innkeeper, you take care of him. And when I, hallelujah, hang on a second. I think this is what he says, verse 35. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave it to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more. When I think I've heard somebody else say that. I think I've heard somebody else say that. When I come again, I'll repay it. Well, guess what? You've got the misery of the sinner. You've got the mercy of the Savior. Number three, and we're almost done. You've got the ministry of the saint.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, we had some people saved in our revival.
Yeah, right.
You know what God did? God, Jesus Christ, the Good Samaritan, come by, picked them up out of the horrible pit, put that oil and wine on, cleaned them up, bound them up, brought them to Holy Hills Baptist Church. And he said, y'all take care of them till I get back. Let me say that again, because some of you missed a good opportunity to say amen. I mean, this is what the Lord did. The Lord did when you got saved. There was a church in your life where God dropped you off. And listen, you get saved, you get involved in a good church. Jesus Christ will drop you off in a good Bible-believing preaching church. And He'll say, hey, church, you take care of them till I get back. And there's blessings because of that. The Lord blesses this church and other churches around. He blesses those churches for taking care of just old people like myself, like you, that once were lost, now you're found. You used to be blind, but now you can see. And He dropped you off at Holy Oak Baptist Church and said, hey, Holy Oak Baptist Church, y'all take care of them till I get back. You know what Holy Oak Baptist Church is supposed to do? We're supposed to take care of folks till Jesus gets back.
Amen.
And I'm not necessarily talking about feeding the whole Dyer County. I ain't talking about that. That's physical. We're supposed to take care of people spiritually. Now we help people and all that kind of stuff. Y'all don't criticize. We help people. I'm going to tell you the most important thing. You can feed a person across. You can feed a person until their stomach is pooching out. And if they don't trust Christ, they'll go to hell with a pooched out stomach. While you're feeding a bologna sandwich or a steak dinner, you tell them that Jesus loves them and He'll love them forever. He'll take care of them spiritually and physically as long as they live. Yes. That's the ministry, Holy Hills Baptist Church. The ministry. Hey, you know what? We ought to get along with one another. We got a ministry to take care of people. Well, I just felt like I'm running up on a kink on that. That's what Holy Hills Baptist Church is all about. The Lord saves people. He drops them off our way. We take care of them till He gets back. That's our job. That's your job. That's just not the preacher's job. That's your job. That's every member's job, is to take care of the saints. Help them. You got the misery of the sinner. You got the mercy of the Savior. And you got the ministry of the saints. You know what He said? I'm working my way down to the close here. Search Samaritan, verse 33. As He journeyed, came where He was. I don't know about you this morning, but you better be glad that a God looked down where you were. Some of us got this idea that, Lord, the Lord just couldn't do this thing without us. Man, Holy Hills Baptist Church wouldn't just want, He wouldn't run without me. We'll just hide and watch. The Lord's been running churches a long time. He can run it with you. He can run it without you. Don't get the idea. He can't do that. Just be glad He looked down to where you was. And not only did He look, but He came where you were. You think about this. Think about that fella. You think about him. He's down here. I'm not going to get in the floor. Probably couldn't get back up. He's down here in the ditch. Stripped. Stripped of all of his clothes. Thieves done took everything he's got. He's down here hopeless and helpless. I can just hear that old fella down there after he'd done stripped him of everything. He said, probably, the gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord was so vast the crossing I could never ford. from where I was. His demands, it seemed so far. I cried, "Dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are." But he came to me.
Thank God!
Came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. You get it?
Yeah.
When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. That's the way I was. I was raised in a preacher's home. My dad sat right back over there, raised up in church all of my life, Trinity Baptist Church, right over there around the corner. He said, "You would have been a pretty good kid." "Oh, you would have been around me." Ask some of these Sunday school teachers. Every one of them, before Sunday school, took a whole thing of Rolaids, ate every one of them before I come into class. I was a pistol. Say, "What'd you need?" "I just needed a good dose of salvation."
Right.
Some of these little ones, hey, they'll, when they get where they understand it, you just keep them around it. Keep them under the sound of it. One of these days, they'll realize I'm down here in the ditch, stripped. I can't get up there to God. But he came to me. He came to me. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. For some odd reason, he came to me. Ain't it good to be saved? Let's stand all over the building. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Just keep playing that. Let me invite you to come. Say, "Preacher, I've never been saved." Well, you can be saved today. Religion can't save you. The law can't save you. There's one man. Lived a perfect life, born of a virgin, died on a old rugged cross, shed his blood so you could have a way to go to heaven. It's not joining the church. It's not getting baptized. It's not turning over a new leaf, pulling yourself up by your bootstrap. It is putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, where he came to where you was and picked you up, brought you out of a horrible pit, set your feet on a solid rock, establish your goings. I'm glad he came to me. Mark's going to play that. You step out and come. Some of you Christians may want to come and pray. Pray for somebody that's lost. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you'll just come and just tell him, "Lord, I hadn't told you in a while. I sure am glad you saved me. I don't even know why. Glad you did." Just a few minutes of people down here praying. How about you? How about you? when I couldn't come to where he was. Oh, he came to me.